the end of this week will be 41 years that I've been walking with the Lord. That thank God that he found me and took me out of the garbage heap that my life was. Hold on. Don't have enough time for that. And some of you, you can be seated. Go ahead. Some of you are sitting here having the same experience I had 41 years ago. The first day I walked into a Christian church like this, full of crazy people, was on Easter Sunday of 1984. And I stood in amazement watching all these people raising their hands. I'm like, what are they raising their hands for? Who's shouting? Live sing, because I came out of a Catholic background. You didn't shout in the Catholic Church unless you sat on a tack or something. You know, we weren't used to, maybe now people do, but we weren't used to raising our hands in worship, not knowing that in the Bible it tells us that that's how God wants to be worshiped, with our hands raised. But the thing that struck me the most was when I first time I heard somebody say, Jesus is coming back. I went, what? He's coming back? I never heard that. Nobody ever taught us that. And maybe your experience was different than mine was. I was baffled. I was amazed. I was intrigued. And it put me on a course from that first moment that I heard Jesus is coming back. Put me on a course of making myself aware of what the Bible had to say about things like that. And I can't go into a lot of it because I got a message to preach here. But let me just assure you, those of you that are sitting in our midst today for the first time you're in this type of church and the first time you may have heard that Jesus is coming back, listen to me. After 40-something years of studying, he's right on the edge. It wouldn't shock me in the least that before we get out of service today, he doesn't come back. Because every single thing that the Bible talked about thousands of years ago that was supposed to happen just before his coming, when he appears in the clouds to receive the church, to receive his, what the Bible calls his saints, has happened. That at any moment, okay, he can come to receive what he refers to in the scriptures as his bride, the bride of Christ, the church. Amen? Amen? Wouldn't it be awesome on Easter Sunday? Yeah, come Lord Jesus. It's a mess down here. Come Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'll even miss my ravioli dinner this afternoon. Glory to God. So welcome to those of you that are joining us this morning. We're glad that you're here. We've been praying for you. We're so happy that you came. Okay? We pray that at this point in the service, something we've sung, something we've talked about, Somebody may have uttered a prayer in the crowd here today. We pray that your heart is already open to celebrate this resurrection with the rest of us that are here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here's the deal. Let's just talk real frank and honest. Most of the world today is celebrating something they don't really have a clue what it's about. Most of the world is celebrating Easter bunnies and celebrating spring and celebrating other things. And that's not what the holiday is about. We know we're here in church today. We're here to celebrate the most amazing moment in the history of mankind. When Jesus Christ rose out of that tomb, walked out of that tomb. And he did it not just for himself, and he did it, and as we get into the message, you'll see more of this. He didn't do it just so that he would prove who he was, although he was declared to be the Son of God through the resurrection, the scriptures tell us. But he did it for us.
Amen.
Okay? You'll hear me say this, and I've been saying it a lot this week. We remember the cross. Amen? How many like the cross here?
Yes.
Nice. Nice addition, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we remember the cross, but we celebrate the resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember that. We remember that, and we're going to be remembering all that Jesus did on the cross before the end of the service. We'll be taking communion together. We remember the cross. Jesus said, whatever you do this in remembrance of me. We remember the cross, but we celebrate. We rejoice at the resurrection, because when he rose from the dead, he guaranteed that we would raise from the dead. Our promise of everlasting life is based upon the resurrection. Amen? In a very real sense, this Easter holiday, this resurrection holiday, is about the fulfillment of a promise that was made over 6,000 years ago to Adam and Eve, the promise of a Savior, the promise of a Messiah, who would conquer death and the grave and restore our relationship with our Creator. The Apostle Paul summed it up, I believe, in a great way. It's recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Now remember, the Apostle Paul never met Jesus in person when Jesus was on the earth in his ministry. We know that Jesus appeared to him on a number of different occasions, but he was not on the earth. Paul did not know Jesus when Jesus was in the ministry. In other words, Paul did not know Jesus before Jesus went to the cross, before Jesus resurrected from the dead. And we know from Scripture that Jesus appeared to Paul and taught Paul directly. Amen. Amen? So he's saying here, I delivered that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, that's an important phrase I want you to grab a hold of. According to the Scriptures. In other words, what's he telling us? At some point in the Old Testament, and this theme occurs over and over again, there's a promise of a Messiah, of a Savior that would come and defeat death, defeat sickness, defeat everything that was contrary to God's will in our lives. And that he would suffer and die on the cross, or suffer and die, and then raise again from the dead. That promise is there. Okay, I want you to hold on to that. Okay? He was buried, and that he rose again the third day, again, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Kephas, or Peter, okay? Then by the 12, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Over five. We don't talk enough about that, how many times Jesus appeared to people after he rose from the dead. 500 at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. In other words, when Paul wrote that letter, there were some people, many of the people were still alive that had seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. But some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, that's Jesus' brother, his half-brother, then by all the apostles. So we can make this statement beyond a shadow of a doubt. The Bible is a book filled with promises. In fact, we could say with all confidence that our God is a God of promises. Amen. Amen. In the beginning, we have a promise of paradise between man and a woman and their creator. That life was defiled by sin, which brought spiritual death, sickness, and physical death. Okay? Remember this. We were never supposed to die. God did not create us to experience death. God never created us to experience disease or sickness or any kind of deformities. God did not create us to experience depression, oppression, anxiety, panic. Okay, we were never created to experience those things. We were never created to experience poverty and lack. Those are all the results of sin coming into this world. But we're so used to it because it's just been part of our lives. Okay? So, that life was defiled by sin, which brought spiritual death, sickness, and physical death. And what was the answer to that? God promised a Savior who would defeat all those things that came into the human experience because of sin. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see the promise of this one, this Holy One that would come. We see it all throughout, unfolding book by book. Finally, we get into the New Testament, the book of Matthew and Luke, and we hear this. Finally, we hear that angelic declaration echoed across the heavens. I bring to you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. That declaration broke everything. That declaration set up mankind now for the fulfillment of the promises that were made. John the Baptist proclaimed the promise. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then from the lips of Jesus himself we hear, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He's talking about spiritual death, okay? And the day will come when even physically we will not die. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus promised, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. Full of the very life of God himself overflowing in us and through us to others. He promised eternity together. He said to the disciples, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." John chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus promised the door would be open to come to God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father
except through me."
He promised us light, even in the darkest of times that we would experience in this life. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's John chapter 8, verse 12. And then finally, like the icing on the cake, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to empower believers, enabling them to live a life that blesses others as well as glorifies God. And that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power." Would you say that word, please? Power. Now say it like it has some power. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." Now, promises are wonderful. Promises give us hope when we're discouraged. But what good is a promise unless the person making the promise unless he's also faithful and able to bring it to pass, then there's no blessing in a promise. I would guarantee you, every one of us in this room, at one point in our lives, maybe as a child, maybe even as an adult, have had a promise made to us that was never fulfilled. Amen. I'm sure every one of us in this room have made promises to others that was never fulfilled. That is never the case with our Father in heaven. If he made a promise, he will fulfill it. If he told you he's going to do something, if it's revealed to you in the scriptures, some promise of some blessing that he's going to bring into your life, not only is he faithful, but he's able to bring that promise to pass. There's nothing impossible for him. In fact, the only person in the entire universe that can limit God from fulfilling his promise is not the devil, okay? It's not the person sitting next to you, the person that you think is your enemy, the person that, whatever, not your boss, it's not your, not anybody else on earth. It's you and me. We're the only ones that can limit those promises.
Amen.
And they're only limited because we entertain doubt instead of entertaining faith.
Amen.
Faith in his promises will always release the promises of God. Amen. Thank you for that one amen back there. Hallelujah. One Sunday morning about 2,000 years ago, the promise himself stepped out of a dark, cold tomb declaring, "I am able and I am faithful."
Amen.
In fact, when he comes back riding on that horse, that's what he's going to have written, it says, on the thigh of his leg, which I don't know if it's going to be a tattoo or not, so he tattooed people. Yeah. It's going to say faithful and true. That's who he is. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews," we say the Jewish leaders, they were concerned that these Jewish leaders were going to come after them after they crucified Jesus. "Jesus came." Here they are. They're in a room somewhere. They're in somebody's house. They got the door shut, probably got the windows barred. They're afraid. And what happens? Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you. Shalom aleichem." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" It's the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside us when we receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior, when we declare openly our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we ask him to come into our hearts to be our Lord, to be our Savior. It's the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that was in creation, hovering over the waters, the very same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that came to live inside you when you said, "Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you as my Lord and Savior."
Amen.
And for those of you that might be joining us here today that you've never said that prayer, you've never had an opportunity to say that prayer, you have never from your heart declared who Jesus is to you, you will have an opportunity before we leave here today. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at this. This is interesting. Verse 21, so Jesus said to him again, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. So there's this commissioning. There's this mandate. There's this mission that's released. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came into them to prepare them to fulfill Jesus' ministry. But look at the very next thing, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Very first thing we're supposed to preach after that is forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The resurrection proved once and for all Jesus is alive and has promised us new life in him. Would you say that, please? New life. That's what this day is about. This day we are celebrating the opportunity to receive new life. We're receiving the opportunity to disconnect from our past and reconnect with our future in God.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. If you're like me and you had a rotten past, there's an opportunity today for you to disconnect from that past.
Amen.
Amen. I experienced that 41 years ago, disconnecting from the past, disconnecting from all the wounds and the hurts and all these. Now, it doesn't mean that once you're born again, you never have another problem. We don't all walk around like idiots with smiles and... You're going to have, look, Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. In other words, take courage. I've overcome it so you can overcome it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But it starts with that first step of saying, of declaring with your mouth what you believe in your heart about Jesus. It's right there. It's right there. It's just for those of you that have not experienced this yet, for those of you that have not placed your faith in Jesus, maybe you know about him, but you know, maybe you know about him. He's a good teacher. He was a good man. Maybe he worked a couple of miracles. No, he is the Son of God. He is the sacrifice that God accepted to cover your sins and to eliminate them from you, to cleanse you from that, to get you disconnected from a past that's full of just junk and to hook you up with a future of purpose and a future of life. Amen?
Amen.
The resurrection proved once and for all that he's alive and that he promised us a new life in him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us what?
New birth.
Come on, say it.
New birth
into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection, which we celebrate today, of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, let me just address something. Just popped up on the inside here. Some of you who are new to this kind of experience here today, you might be saying, like, I remember one time my dad came to church with us a long time ago, many, many years ago. Okay, and my dad didn't understand, well, he did, but his limitations in his language barriers and stuff like that. And he said to me, what do? Just sit here and listen to this guy just say one thing after another, one thing after another, one thing after another. Anybody have an experience? You ever bring a relative to church and you're so excited that they're here? And you prayed for them, you threatened them, you bribed them, you guilted them, you did everything. You finally get them to church and then they have that flat experience, you know? And it made me realize something. The reason we go from scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture is because I would not dare get up here and preach my own opinion. But the truth of God and the truth of this new life is found in the Word of God.
Amen.
So when you come to church here, be prepared to hear scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, because it's based on the foundation of what God has to say about the situation,
Amen.
Not about what man has to say about the situation. Amen?
Amen?
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. He didn't leave us dying where we were. He gave us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, new life, new life, new life. Not rehabilitation, not renovation, but regeneration. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing less than new life from what was once dead. Okay? Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They were preparing Jesus' body to be embalmed Remember this. Now, you get a clue here that they don't know what's going to happen. Okay, why? Well, because if they knew he was going to raise from the dead, why would they go buy the spices to embalm his body? His body's not going to stay dead. So we see they did not really truly understand what was happening. That's why when they got to the tomb and found it empty, they're like, what's up with this? Nobody expected it, okay? So, verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly what? Perplexed. Like, they can't wrap their mind around this. They don't know what's happened here, okay? They did not find the body, greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, who were these?
Angels.
Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the two angels said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Man, I could preach a whole sermon on that statement. Why do we pursue things in life? Trying to find life from among the dead. We get involved, we get distracted by things. We pour our life into things that are not going to mean anything in eternity. We go searching in relationships for love that can only come from the Father in heaven.
Amen.
We go searching for purpose, and we don't even know what to look for. Why do we seek the living among the dead? And I noticed this, that when I connected my life to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, purpose started rising up.
Amen.
All of a sudden, the giftings that you have in your life that you didn't know what you were going to do with them, all of a sudden, you start seeing, well, there's doors opening. There's opportunities to use this gifting and that gifting. And even the hard times that you go through, they don't bring you frustration, because even the hard times that you go through, the things that look like they were a waste of time, you realize, I learned something through this.
Amen.
Get your life connected to God. All of a sudden, the pieces will start falling into place. Again, does it mean you're never going to have another problem? No, of course not. Of course not. Okay, before I got born again, we had money. We were doing good. I had a business that was making a lot of money, okay? I get born again. All of a sudden now, things change in the economy, and we go into bankruptcy and lose everything. But watch this. I would rather go through that with him holding my hand than to go through it by myself. You, many of you are here this morning. You're facing situations in your life right now you never thought you would face. You're going through tough times. What would you rather do? Go through those tough times by yourself, or would you rather go through those tough times with a God that says, I'll take your hand, I'll walk you through this fire, and when we come out on the other side, you won't even smell like smoke.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. The angels are going, don't you remember? He told you this was going to happen over and over and over again. And then when it happened, they're like, well, we're perplexed. We didn't realize it. We didn't really knew him. We didn't know he meant it. How many times does somebody say something to us and we just let it just roll off? Just, yeah, yeah, yeah. I love when it happens at home. My wife will tell me something, go, when did this happen? I told you 3 days ago. I don't remember that. She goes, I knew when I said it, you didn't remember that, and you weren't going to remember that. Well, the same thing with the disciples. Every time Jesus said, you know, very soon I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to get handed over to the Gentiles, and they're going to treat me terribly, and they're going to crucify me, but 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the dead. And they went, oh yeah, okay. Glory to God. I'm going to keep preaching. You guys jump in whenever you want. Remember how we spoke to him when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. You know who else was surprised by this? The devil. Paul later on writes their church and says, if they only knew, they would have never crucified the Prince of Glory. But did that blow up in the devil's face? So the resurrection is about so much more than Easter eggs, chocolate bunnies, jelly beans. We shouldn't have Easter eggs. We shouldn't have... Oh, stop it, will you? Go eat the chocolate bunnies. I said to the crowd last night, just snap off the ears and send them to me. That's the one that I like. I like the ears. Go eat the chocolate bunnies. Go enjoy the jelly beans. Go do the Easter egg. But do it with the heart of celebrating Jesus Christ who was risen from the dead. If you came to my house this afternoon, you're going to find a table that is all set beautifully, flowers. You're going to see special kind of foods that are made. We're not celebrating the food, and we're not celebrating the flowers, and we're certainly not celebrating some bunny rabbit. We're celebrating Jesus Christ who was risen from the dead. Man, if you got a problem with celebrating, what are you going to do when he comes back? Do you know what's going to happen all over this planet? It's going to be one big, gigantic party. Just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling you, I'll share this with you. I love fireworks. Anybody else love fireworks? Yes. I'm not talking about the stupid little stuff that they sell in the stores. I'm talking about fireworks. Yes. I love every time I see, ever since I got saved, every time I see fireworks, I think, this is what it's going to be like when it comes back. Man, all over the planet, there's going to be this gigantic celebration because he made a promise that he would return, and he will. Well, how do we know that? He made a promise he would go to the cross and die for our sins, and he did. He made a promise that 3 days later he'd come out of the tomb, and he did. He made a promise that we would get filled with the Holy Ghost when we ask for it, and we do. Amen. What makes us think he's not going to fulfill this other promise? He's coming back. Man, what a celebration it's going to be. Hallelujah. Where was I? I forgot myself here. So the resurrection is so much more than Easter eggs, chocolate bunnies, and jelly beans. I like jelly beans, so I threw that in there. It's about God, our creator. Now, don't go buying me jelly beans. I just realized that. I said that one time and about something. I don't remember what it was. And three people showed up. I think it was coconut custard pies. And so three people, don't go bringing me coconut custard pies. I got to, okay? I want to be around here for a little bit. It's about God, our creator, our father, taking on human flesh, coming to earth in order to sacrifice himself on a cross so that you and I could be freed from our sin and step into a brand new life with him. Amen. A life that doesn't end at the grave, but carries on into eternity forever. Amen? Amen. So what does this new life look like? What does it look like? I got to move quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Now, I want to make this statement. I want to make sure I make this clear. I want you to hear this clear. It's a promise of a fresh new start. Okay? Is it up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want you to pay attention to this phrase. As far as God is concerned. Could you repeat that with me real quick? As far as God is concerned, your past is done away with. A new life has begun. Now, I'm emphasizing that phrase because, you see, you have an enemy of your soul that does not want you to see yourself as a new creation, that does not want you to be pointed to your future. You have an enemy of your soul that speaks into your ear, and he wants you to pay attention to your past. He wants you stuck in the failures. He wants you stuck in the memory of the sin. He wants you stuck in that thing that you did that if anybody found out about it, you'd be completely embarrassed and your reputation would be ruined. He wants you stuck in that. But as far as God's concerned, he sees you as if you were just born. And the moment that you said, Jesus, I believe in you, I trust you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I want to be born again. And that moment forward, that's all that God knows about you. Amen. He said, I have forgotten all these things. I've taken your past, taken your sin, and thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. I don't want to even think about it.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. You can listen to either voice. You can listen to the voice of the enemy that wants you to stay stuck in your past, stuck in your failure, stuck in your mistakes, or you can stick and listen to the voice of God that's always pointing you to the future. He said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a hope and a future. Which one are you going to listen to? Well, the choice is yours. As far as I'm concerned, I'm listening to God. He's pointing me to the future. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Darkness is a dominion. Darkness is slavery. There is a lordship in darkness, and it wants to keep you bound up and keep you a slave. And he brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. Do we really understand what redemption means? To be redeemed means I have to pay something to get something back. Amen. That cross represents the payment that Jesus, it cost him so that your life could be set free from that dominion of darkness, that kingdom of darkness. Amen? Amen. It cost him his blood. What does this new life look like? I got to move along quick. It looks like cleansing. It looks like you're washed from your sins. You come out from, how many people have I heard say, and I experienced myself, man, when I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus to come into my life, I don't know, after I was done at the end of that prayer, it felt like 1,000,000 pounds was taken off of my shoulders. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's all of a sudden you can see things. All of a sudden it's like the world got bright. All of a sudden it's like things are new. You just know it on the inside. What happened? You got cleansed. You got washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
What does new life look like? It looks like being adopted. It's like being adopted. It's adoption. You become God's children. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, we should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family, into the very center of his family, calling him Father, Father. But in the King James, it says what? Abba. Abba. Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. Daddy. Amen. That's how close that relationship happens when we come into a relationship with God. Amen. It tells us new life means we're accepted. We've been received by God. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. For he did this because he wanted to. Now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness towards us, his favor that he's poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved son, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. What did this mean? This was especially meaningful to me because from the time that I can remember until I was 27 years old, my life was a life of masks, portrayed images, always trying to be something that I thought would appeal to somebody else. Once you come into this new life, no more masks. Mm-mm. No more hiding. No more trying to be the person that whoever people, you know, you ever meet people, whoever they're with, they become like that person?
Yes.
That's slavery. That's, you can't keep up, because every day you got to go, okay, which mask am I putting on today? Who am I going to be with? Which mask am I going to put on today? You listening?
Yes.
No, we're accepted, the Bible tells us in Ephesians. We're accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus Christ. We're accepted in him. No more acting. No more hiding. No more trying to be whatever somebody else wants you to be. And did you ever notice that when you fall into that trap, it's never enough? Because people will demand more from you and more from you and more from you and more from you. Get free from that. In the name of Jesus, get free from that. And finally, what does this new life look like? It looks like eternal life. We have hope, endless hope. Now, here's the question we want to answer. We understand this. We understand. We remember the cross. We know that Jesus died on that cross, died a horrible death on that cross, so that you and I could come into this new life with God our Father. We know and we celebrate today that Jesus rose from the dead. But that was 2,000 years ago. What has Jesus been doing all this time? What has he been doing now? I want to read you a quote from a book by a man named Rick Renner. If you don't know who he is, go find out, because the guy's an amazing, amazing Bible teacher. The title of the book is Easter, The Rest of the Story. I would advise you to get a hold of one of those books. Okay, it's a beautiful book. It's got beautiful pictures in it and stuff like this. But Rick Renner goes into stuff, the backstory of Easter, little things that just go like this when we read them in the scriptures. He goes in there deep and talks about every little thing that went on during those few days before the crucifixion and even the days from the crucifixion to the resurrection. This is what Rick Renner says. What was Jesus doing? Or what has he been doing all this time? Jesus is now gloriously seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. For 2,000 years, on our terms, 2,000 years, he's been sitting in a place of honor, interceding for his people as great high priest. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection opened the way for us to come directly into his presence so we can boldly ask for whatever we need. Jesus is for you and is waiting mercifully to help you as soon as you come to him in faith. I want to talk to one group of people as we start wrapping this whole thing up. Those of you who have never prayed a prayer declaring your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, if you only knew what is waiting for you on the other side of your yes, you would run to him. If you only understood the depth of love that he has for you, and you will. You would, and if you only realized how close he is to you and how much he's waiting for you, not in a beggarly sense, but he's waiting for you like a father would wait for a son who's been missing, like a father would wait for a child who's run off somewhere. If you only knew the love that he has for you. If you can we can get a glimpse of it from that cross when you understand and you study what he endured for all those hours on that cross and grasp the reality that he did it for you. Even if you were the only person on earth, he would have still went to the cross for you. If you would just realize, I remember one time going to a church service up North Jersey somewhere. My wife was with me. In fact, I think it was the very first time she came to church with me. And I'm sitting in a seat in that sanctuary of that church, and I could hardly breathe. I was afraid to move because I had this sense that Jesus Christ was standing right in front of me. I was just like this, and I was afraid to open up my eyes. I could feel his presence. I could feel him. If I got a little bit closer, I guaranteed I could sense his heartbeat. It was that real. I pray in the name of Jesus that by the power of the Holy Spirit, every single person in this room that has not come to salvation yet, that has not come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and place your faith in him, I pray that you have a similar experience. I pray that he would reveal to you by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. That he would show you, as you're sitting here today, how much he loves you. How much he's not counting your sin against you. Because he took your sin upon himself at that cross. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. He loved you so much that even though he never sinned ever in his entire life here on earth, he took your sin, let it turn him into sin so that you could become righteous in the sight of God. Amen. There's a whole new life waiting for you on the other side of your decision. Now, I will tell you this, in all fairness, and I would be negligent if I didn't bring this out. Those of you that are here today that have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're being presented an opportunity. I pray that you take that opportunity. But I also pray, in another sense, that you don't reject Christ today, because then you will set yourself on another path, and that's a path of rejection. And I'd be negligent if I didn't say this to you. Whatever choice you make, you are setting the precedent for the next time that you're faced with a decision like this. If you reject Christ today, it'll become easier for you to reject him the next time you're presented with the opportunity. It's just the way life works. Once you set a precedent, it's always easier to go into that on that path again and again and again. So I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you received a revelation today of who he is. that he came to this earth specifically to die on that cross. Something had to pay. Blood had to be shed for sins to be cleansed. For 1,500 years prior to the cross, it was sheep, goats, bulls, animals that were sacrificed. Blood spilled. Something had to pay for the sin of mankind. Up until the time Jesus showed up on the earth, it was animals. But animal blood can only cleanse those people for 1 year. Every year, they had to go back to the temple, offer more sacrifices, more blood had to be shed, so that their sins could be covered. When Jesus came, our sins are not covered. They're eliminated. Amen. They're eliminated. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So, I want to give that opportunity. Now, the second group of people that I want to talk to are those you said that prayer at some point in your life. You asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but you have gotten off track. You have drifted. You have drifted far from God. Okay? Now, watch this now. He didn't drift from you. You drifted from him. He doesn't change. He doesn't move. Okay? He still loved you during that time. But today, make your way back to him. Make your path back to him. Decide in your heart that from this point forward that you're going to use this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, as the opportunity to go blaze that trail again and stay on it this time. In other words, take the opportunity today to rededicate your life to this Savior who did not spare any pain but endured all that he did so that you could be in relationship with him.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to, we need to make a declaration. Whenever you preach any kind of a message like this, you must give a response. You can't just listen to something like this, walk out the doors, and that's the end of it. Because we're held accountable for what we hear. So here's what I want us to do. I want all of us, including those of us, and maybe you've prayed this prayer, I can't even think of how many times I've prayed this prayer throughout the time of pastoring and even before that. We're going to pray a prayer together, declaring our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is love just like God is love. God is love, right?
Yes.
Yeah, God is love?
Yes.
Okay, is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Then God is love. And the Holy Spirit's love, and Jesus is love. Amen?
Amen.
Love is not going to, listen to me. Those of you that are sitting here right now, you may be smiling out on the outside, but on the inside you're going, I'm not going to say that prayer. You're in danger. Let me tell you why. Because God, because he's love, is not going to come out of heaven and grab you by the throat and make you say that prayer. I picked the wrong person to go over to. You listening to me?
Yes.
He will not make you. Because if he made you do anything, he would cease being love.
Amen.
He gave you free choice. You, out of your free choice, must receive Christ. Not to please the person that brought you today, not to please your mom, not to please your dad, not to please your friends, but that you know in your heart that what the scriptures say about Jesus Christ is true.
Amen.
Make that choice. Listen, one way or the other, you're making a choice today.
Amen.
That's the dangerous thing about truth. One way or the other, you're making a choice today. You're going to choose to either receive Christ or you're going to choose to reject him. And I'm warning you, it'll be easier the next time for you to reject him. He is Lord, whether you believe it or not, he's still Lord. And the Bible tells us at some point in the near future, when he's here on the earth, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Not only the ones that are here on earth, but the ones that are under the earth. Every tongue, one day you're going to be forced to declare him as Lord. But it won't bring you salvation then. Now, while you're in this life, while you're still breathing, while you're in this body, now is the time that the choice that you make to receive Christ as your Savior, your Lord, will bring you salvation. Are you listening?
Yes.
Good. Let's pray this prayer all together, okay? Now, don't go pinching somebody. Don't go squeezing somebody's. Let everybody make their own choice. Let's say this prayer together. Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I freely, as an act of my will, choose to receive
Jesus Christ
as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe he went to the cross to pay for my sins. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I thank you for the blood that was shed for me so that I could be cleansed from my sin. I believe that Jesus rose again from the dead and that he's alive right now. And according to the scriptures, he is seated at your right hand. So he hears me. So Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for making me a child of God. Thank you for giving me everlasting life. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now listen to me. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to require some boldness here today. But hey, listen, Jesus went all the way to the cross naked. He didn't let anything hold him back from declaring his love for you. We should not hold anything back declaring our love for him. Those of you that said that prayer for the first time, we prepared a gift for you. And that we prepared a little gift bag for you. In that bag is a Bible. There's some other materials there because we want to equip you. This isn't the end of the journey. This is the beginning of the adventure. But we don't know where you are. And the ushers are ready to bring those bags to you. Will you please just lift one hand up and show us where you are? You said that prayer for the first time so that the ushers can come over and give you that bag. Could you please raise your hand? Right there, right there, right there. Wave them. Over here. One, two, three. Anybody on this side? All the bold people were on this side of the room. Anybody on this side? Anybody in the middle? Anybody on that side? We're not going to bite you. We just want to give you a gift. All right. So you got those people over there? Amen. Praise God. Let's prepare ourselves to receive communion. Now, in that bag, listen. Worship team, come on up. In that bag that you received, there's a card in there. Please take a couple of minutes while we're singing now, preparing our hearts to take communion. Fill out those cards, and then you can drop them off by the red wall out there in the lobby. When you walk out, it'll be to your left, facing the front, okay? And just drop that off there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's prepare our hearts to receive communion. Let's take hold of that bread and understand what you hold in your hand as a representation. It's a symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that body that was nailed to that cross. He himself called himself the bread of life. And it's through his body nailed to the cross that you and I receive new life. We're brought into this covenant with God our Father through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 26 that while they were eating supper, while they were celebrating the Passover, that Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." We're going to pray a blessing over this and all of us are going to partake of it together as one big family. Amen. Father, thank you for your blessing upon this bread. Lord God, we reverence you for all that you've done for us, Father. And Lord, we're doing this according to Jesus' command. He said, whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. We remember all your suffering, Lord. And as an act of gratitude and thanksgiving, we receive this bread. We bless it. Thank you for it. In your name we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and partake of that. Just peel that foil back on top of the cup there. Recognize recognize what you're holding, okay? In the natural, this is just grape juice. But the symbolism and what it represents, understand, and I make sure that I say this every time we take communion together, the cup that you hold in your hand represents the most powerful thing in the entire universe. And not only in the natural, but in the realm of the spirit also. Because it's by the blood of Jesus that Satan was defeated. It's by the blood of Jesus that you and I have been brought into this relationship with God Almighty. His blood cleansed us. We're grateful because God the Father in heaven received the blood of his Son as payment for your sins and for my sins. So, Father, we thank you and we pray your blessing upon this cup, Lord God. We recognize, Father, your word says that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. And so we thank you for this once for all shedding of blood that Jesus endured at the cross. One sacrifice for one time for everyone. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We take this cup, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Jesus, thank you for doing all that you've done for us. Thank you for this new life that you brought us into. For all of eternity, we'll be grateful. We receive this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. Thank you so much, church family, for being here today. Thank you, visitors. Those of you that are our guests this morning, please come and see us again. We pray that you come back, especially those of you that made that decision today to receive Christ as your Savior. It's extremely important that you get hooked up into a church where the word's being preached. Thank you. God bless you. Happy Easter to you all. You're dismissed.